كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: خياركم خياركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, indeed it is a great favor and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us the tawfiq to gather here in this Mubarak gathering. Together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this great treasure and wealth of Iman. That treasure that every single human being that comes onto the face of the earth requires in order to be salvated in the hereafter. That treasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in His control and He gives to whomsoever He wishes. That treasure which is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent plus minus 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam so that this can be transferred to mankind and humanity and they can be salvated and saved from the fire of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only through His mercy and grace and favor, has bestowed us with this great treasure of Iman. And together with Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this great deen of Islam. This deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has perfected. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa radidu lakum al-islam deena. Today I have perfected your deen for you and I have completed my favor upon you and I have chosen for you this deen of Islam. This deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has chosen for us to adopt in this world and to follow so that our life becomes a living paradise in this world and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the real paradise in the Akhirah. This is the great deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this deen, which is encompassing all aspects of life, from the time we come to this world, now even before we come into this world, when our mothers conceive us, what are the orders and rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned in the hadith in the Holy Quran. And right till we leave this dunya, and even after we are gone from the dunya, what are the duties of those that remain after us, towards us after we leave this dunya? This is that perfect and complete deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Every aspect of our life, when we can say, from the time we come into this world, till after we leave or before we come into this world, and even after we are gone, all those orders and all those injunctions and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and granted us in the form of the Holy Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that enables us to carry out and follow this great and complete and this perfect deen. Together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has not only sent the deen, but together with that, the example, لَقَدْ كَارَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Definitely, indeed, there is in you a unique example, an outstanding model in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for those people that have hope in the last day, that have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have hope in the last day and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. For them, there is a unique example in the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Mubarak lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so complete and so comprehensive that every single aspect of life is covered in a Mubarak lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cover every aspect of life. Every single human being, irrespective of his age, his era, his color, his background, and the time he will come into this world, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most outstanding model for him in all aspects of his life. Under all circumstances, at all times, and at all places, for all people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a unique example. And this is not only restricted to one aspect of life, only as far as the ibadat is concerned, only as far as the monetary dealings are concerned, only the social life covers the social life, our personal character and mannerisms and akhlaq. No, from the beginning right up to the end, in the entire deen, entire life, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a unique example and a unique model for us. And not only is he a model for us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so beautiful, that it is the most easiest way of carrying out any action. whether it is buying and selling, whether it is conducting a nikah, whether it is the ibadat, whether it is interacting with our wife and children, whether it is the rights of the people around us, the easiest way of following that and carrying it out is in the Mubarak way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Together with that, the most beautiful way of carrying out an action is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And together with that, the most comprehensive way, which covers all aspects of that action, is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Further, our mashayikh tell us, it is the most aqrab tariqah, the most easiest and shortest route to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others tell us the most anfa, the most beneficial way, is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And top it all, the most maqbool way, the most acceptable way in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have the Deen of Islam, we have this great wealth of Iman, the Deen of Islam, and a unique example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us to follow. And together with that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent as a mercy, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you but a mercy for the entire creation. And the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are also means of rahmat, attaining rahmat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a guide. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is filled with hidayat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is we find barakat in the life of Rasulullah. The most mubarak personality to come onto the face of the earth was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the sunnah, we find that barakat also coming to us by following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most illuminated personality, wherein there was the greatest amount of nur, was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah is filled with the nur also that comes into our homes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this great wealth of the sunnah. وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. And if you follow him, you will be guided. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَن تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us here in this verse of the Holy Quran that you should be careful. Those people should be careful who oppose the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to see one fitnatun, should not happen that trials begin to befall you when you go against the Mubarak tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you see mu'adabun aleem, or a great painful punishment may befall you if you go against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why we find the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like last night Hazrat Mawlana had mentioned to us in great detail how meticulous they were when it came to the Mubarak tariqah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this became the means of the acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we also have the opportunity of following the Mubarak tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only in our ibadat, not only when you go for hajj, not only when we conduct nikahs, not only in our social life, but in our personal akhlaq, in our dealings, in our buying and selling, in our homes, in our shops, and in our environments. We should follow the Mubarak tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the very object of the work of da'wah. The very object of the work of da'wah is what we hear every week, that our success and the success of every human being lies in following, obeying the command of Allah, shown to us by the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other words, if we follow the deen, the way the deen that is the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, therein is our success. Our success and the success of the entire human race lies in obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the very object of coming out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this must be fulfilled and been brought alive in the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The entire deen must become alive in the entire human race. This is the object of coming out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beginning with ourselves, and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us as a means of hidayah for all the people to come right up to the day of judgment. So with regard to nikah and regard to marriage also, we find the famous hadith that you recited, and nikahu min sunnati, that the nikah is my sunnah, is my way of life. Actually, what is sunnah? The sunnah is a tariqul maslukat of iddeen. The way, that path that is being tread upon in deen, that is the sunnah. In other words, the way, that lifestyle, the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the sunnah. That path that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had adopted in all aspects of his life, that is the sunnah. So when it comes to nikah also, we find that the very hadith tells us, an nikahu min sunnati, that nikah is my way of life. The nikah is my path. The nikah is my sunnah. And from another riwayat, Rasulullah SAW tells us, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that the person that is disinclined towards my sunnah, he is not from me. What a great and serious warning is sounded here in the hadith of Rasulullah SAW. So we all understand that nikah is a sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, but it will only remain a sunnah if it is carried out in the prescribed manner by Rasulullah SAW. Otherwise we find all lot of evils come in to the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, and sometimes it becomes even the actions that are perpetrated reach even haram when we go against the spirit of the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. Rasulullah SAW has taught us, firstly, the time which is ripe and correct and appropriate for a person to get married is when he reaches the age of puberty, and when he reaches the age of maturity, that is the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in him the need. There are passions in him, there is lust in him, he needs to fulfill this lust, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed the Mubarak manner of sunnah, which was the sunnah of Rasulullah and the sunnah of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. That is why when it comes to getting married, we should not delay. For flimsy and petty reasons, we should not delay. But we should follow the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW and get our children married when they reach the age of puberty. In fact, in one hadith, Rasulullah SAW sounds a warning that when he reaches the age of puberty, one of the duties of the parents towards the children is this, وَيَزَوِّجْهُ إِذَا بَلَغْ. When he reaches the age of puberty, he should be married. The parents, the onus of the parents to see that he is married. If they delay, they procrastinate for no apparent reason, and the child falls into sin. فَإِنَّمَا إِسْمُهُ عَلَىٰ أَبِيهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, the father will be responsible for the son of that son, for the sin of that son or daughter, if he falls into sin. So we should ensure that our children get married when they reach the age of puberty, and we should not delay, especially for unnecessary reasons, because of financial reasons, or because we feel he is very small, and because we feel he has not completed his studies, etc. We should not do that. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here we find another hadith has specifically addressed, Ya ma'ashir al-shabab, O assembly of young people, whoever has the means of getting married, then he ought to get married. And why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam further highlights the benefits of marriage. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ وَأَحْسَرُ لِلْفَرَجِ. Because it will be a means of shutting your eyesight and casting your eyesight low, and shutting your eyesight from those things that are evil and immoral and impermissible. وَأَحْسَرُ لِلْفَرَجِ. It will become a means of protecting your chastity and your purity. And if you do not have the means, then you should fast. This will become a means of protecting your chastity and protecting your purity. So firstly, when the time is ripe, we should ensure that our children get married. Secondly, who should you get married to? We all know the norms and the customs that prevail in our societies. People look for big bank balances, people look for professional people, people look for people that are able and that are well known, that are renowned in the society. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us here, if somebody comes to the proposal, إِذَا خَتَوَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينُهُ وَخُلُقُهُ. If he has deen, his deeni disposition and his akhlaq is pleasant to you, acceptable to you, فَزَوْوِجُوهُ. Get him married. Do not look for a big bank balance. This is the object of the work of dawah. The deen comes into our life. Akhlaq comes into our life. So marriage also becomes so easy. You find a person that has the deen. He has no wealth, but he has deen. And he has a good akhlaq. Then very easily it is for you to get your daughter married to him. Rasulullah SAW tells us. And if you do not do that, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ. If you do not do that, then there will be widespread mischief on the earth, and there will be widespread dissension and fitna and fasad on the earth. There will be mischief on the earth, and there will be trials on the earth. On the other hand, when it comes to the woman folk, when it comes to a bride, a person is looking for, basically a person looks for wealth, he looks for beauty, he looks for a good lineage and a good family, and he looks for deen. And Rasulullah SAW advises, first for bizatid deen. Look for that one that has a deen in disposition. Give preference for that woman that has deen in her. As far as the husband is concerned, the son-in-law is concerned, he must have a deen, good deen, and he must be good in his deen, and he must have good akhlaq. As far as the wife is concerned, then she must have deen. Why? Because we want deen to come into existence. The value in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not because of our names, of our colors and our backgrounds, it's because of the deen that we have. And because of the deen, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most acceptable, the honorable in the court of Allah from amongst you is the one that has the greatest amount of piety. And this is the object of dawah, to create that piety, to create that deen consciousness, to create that ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can become acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of our social status in society.
So here Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us who we should look for when it comes to a wife, who we should look for when it comes to a daughter-in-law, who we should look for when it comes to a son-in-law, and who we should look for the woman when it comes to a wife. And where should we have our nikahs? In the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The place where the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are raining and coming down. And thereafter, what type of nikah must we have? What must be the expenditure? Today a person that has money feels that I must have the greatest wedding, the grand wedding of the year. I must have such a wedding that nobody had such a wedding before. No, this was not the spirit of the weddings on the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not the spirit of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Inna a'zam an-nikah aktharuhu ma'uda." The one nikah, the nikah that is the maximum as far as benefit and barakat is concerned, is the one that really is the least amount of expenditure, the least amount of inconvenience. The least amount of expenditure, the least amount of inconvenience. Today, alhamdulillah, we find thousands of people sitting here and the nikah is performed. Nobody had to travel thousands of miles to come here. No great expenditure. People came here for the Asr Salat or for the Ijtima, and they are witnessing here in this Mubarak Mehfil, this nikah that is going to take place. This is a nikah that has the greatest amount of barakat. And that is one ingredient that every single person, whether it is the girl, whether it is the boy, whether it is the parents of the girl, the parents of the boy, or their relatives, or their families, or their friends and well-wishers, each one has this in his heart. Oh Allah, bless this marriage. Oh Allah, give barakat to this marriage. Everybody sitting in this gathering also has this in his heart. Oh Allah, bless this marriage, give barakat in this marriage. And here Rasulullah teaches us the formula that is to have that marriage which is the most easiest and most simplest, and there's no expenditure whatsoever in the marriage. And thereafter, what amount of function should take place? Rasulullah, we look at the sunnah, we find there is one function, and that is the walima. And the walima of Rasulullah ﷺ had taken so many different forms to show to us that walima also does not mean we must incur such expenditure that becomes a burden on us. So much elaborate preparations must be made for the walima, people from far and wide. No, the simplest of walimas we find was the walima of Rasulullah ﷺ. Some places khajur, some places sour milk, some places some meat, some places some roti is pleasant. One walima of Rasulullah ﷺ was so unique that we don't see this. I'd only seen one walima like that. That was the walima that by Padia Rahmatullah Alayhi had established. That was the host, the guests bring whatever they have and they sit down and partake of the food. That was the walima of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he got married to Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha. And this walima, Hazrat Baipadiya rahmatullahi alayhi, for his only son, we find he had a walima of this nature with this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also come alive. So walimas also were very simple walimas. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Sharru ta'am ta'amul walima yud'a lahu al-aghniya wa yutraku al-fuqara." The worst of food is the food of walima, where the rich people are invited and the poor people are left out. Showing to us that it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if the spirit of sunnah is not existent, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself condemns the walima and says, "Sharru ta'am." The worst type of food is the food of walima, where the rich people are invited and the poor people are not invited. So here, these were the functions that take place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we find nikah was simple as performing two rakats of salah. People used to come in, one person comes in, one woman says, "Oh Prophet of Allah, get me married." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Who should I get? I give myself to you." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets her married to somebody. One sahabi stands up and asks him, "What have you got?" He says, "I have absolutely nothing, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam marries him for those few surahs that he knows of the Holy Quran with this person. Nowhere, absolutely nowhere. And this was the sunnah also of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only his teachings, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we all know how close she was to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the time comes for her marriage, she turns 15 years old. Still 15 years of age, and we find people like Abu Bakr Siddiq and some other people were sending proposals to her, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give her marriage till Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu mentioned in detail in the hadith how he had come. Some riwayats had mentioned his servant had prompted him, "Go and propose for Fatima." He was too shy to go. Some places he says, "I was very shy. I possessed nothing, absolutely nothing. And I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thinking of the kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I sat down there." In some riwayats it's mentioned, "I could not even speak and ask." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells me, "What brings you here, O Ali? It seems you have come to seek Fatima in marriage." He says, "Yes, O Prophet of Allah, this is what I have come for." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "What do you possess?" Some riwayats it's mentioned, he takes an oath and says, "I possess absolutely nothing, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Here Rasulullah SAW teaches us that when you see somebody whose religious disposition is something that pleases you, and his akhlaq is something that pleases you, get him married. This is the teaching of Rasulullah, the actions of Rasulullah SAW is, oh Ali, what about that armor that I had given you? Oh Prophet of Allah, have that with me. Rasulullah SAW, some riwayats mentioned, tell them to sell that and give the mehr of Fatima radiallahu anha. And some riwayats mentioned that that armor itself is taken and given to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha as a mehr. No wealth, absolutely no wealth whatsoever. And Rasulullah SAW gets his daughter, his beloved daughter, married to him. In some riwayats is mentioned, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is told to call Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu, and a few Sahaba from the Ansar. Who is this? The marriage of Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahli al-Jannah. The Queen of Paradise is getting married. That daughter of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can there be anybody more beloved? Can anybody's daughter be more beloved than Fatima radiallahu anha? Can anybody be more respectable and honorable than more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But this is the simplicity of the nikah in Islam. We find that a few sahaba are called and the nikah is performed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu that thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when you consummate this marriage, there ought to be a walima. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu has absolutely no wealth for a walima. But it's mentioned Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu anhu gives him a goat and the Ansar comes up with some wheat, and thereafter the walima is performed, or the walima is carried out of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is spending wealth on this occasion was a thing of merit, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have announced to the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwarah that my daughter is getting married, bring the wealth. People should have given all the wealth that they had, but this is not the criteria, this is not the manner, this is not the way of Islam, this is not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most simplest manner, we find she is married. Normally after marriage, everybody forgets, the story finishes, but the story really begins after marriage. Now this person was single, now he's double. Now the responsibility comes onto his shoulders to fulfill the rights of the marriage, fulfill the rights of his wife. And here we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself here comes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intercedes on behalf of the wife. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. The Mashayikh al-Mufassirin mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is interceding on behalf of the wife to the husband, that consort with them with kindness. And if you find anything, if you detest them and dislike them for something, some trait, some weakness, some shortcoming, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا, perhaps you dislike something, وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a lot of good in her. She is that woman that protects your chastity. هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ. She is a garment for you and you are a garment for her. She covers you, she protects you, she gives you warmth, she gives you comfort, she looks after you, she protects, she looks after, she saves your chastity, saves you from haram. And she's there, she encourages you. Mar'atun Saliha, if it's a pious woman, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the best commodity in the world is Mar'atun Saliha, the woman that is pious. Why? Because she's pious, she exhorts you towards fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rearing the children in the proper Islamic manner. She's not demanding, she ensures that you fulfill your rights. She becomes unhappy with you when you fail in your obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if she's a pious woman. So here, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if you detest something, then there's a whole lot of good in her that she does for you, and she protects you and saves you. As I mentioned, she's a garment for you. She gives you comfort, she gives you solace, she gives you peace, etc. And then we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person is very mean who does not accept the intercession of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding his wife. Further, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam exhorting the ummah to fulfill the rights of the wife, says us in just one sentence, خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. The best amongst you is the best towards your wife. Rasulullah SAW did not say the one that makes the best, greatest amount of umrah, or makes the greatest amount of hajj performs, or the greatest amount of tahajjud performs. The best amongst you is the best towards his wife and children, towards his family. And then further is an encouragement for us. We all are followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true sense, make us true lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereafter presents his model and says, "Wa ana khayrukum li ahli," and I am the best amongst you towards my wife and towards my children. That just shows here that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life mirrors how we should treat our wives: the kindness, the compassion, the love, the tolerance, etc.
that you should have, the affection, the understanding that you should have, should be like that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't have time to go into details, but if you look at the life of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never entered the house without a smile. On one hand, is all the responsibilities of Nubuwwat. The harassment of the kuffar, we find the persecution in the hands of the kuffar, of the Muslims and the mu'mineen, and the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is given the obligation of spreading this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter to humanity, Ya ayyu Rasulullah, balligh ma unzil ilayka min rabbik, make tabligh and propagate this deen that we have descended and sent down to you. On one hand, we find the responsibility, the wars, etc., the wars that take place, the Badr, Ahzab, Uhud, and all the other wars. On the other hand, we find when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks into the house, he never walks into the house without a smile. Why? Fulfilling the rights of the wife. Imagine the responsibilities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But look at the outstanding model, smiling and coming into the home. And he had a nice, beautiful name, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, a name full of love and affection, Ya Humaira, a nice name full of love. And he used to drink from that utensil that Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha used to drink from. From the same utensil, from the same place as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to drink from there. Why? To enhance this love between him and Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. He used to bite from that same bone that Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha used to bite from and eat. He used to take the same bone, and from that very exact spot that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to bite from, he used to bite from there. On one occasion, like Hazrat Mawlana was telling us this morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi on two occasions had a race with Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. One occasion he beat her, another occasion she came out first, and Rasulullah sallallahu said, this was in lieu of that, otherwise we are equal now, and it's a draw now, you have beat me once and I have beat you once. On one occasion, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, as we know, she was very young when she got married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there were some people from Abyssinian descent. They were there, and they were with their spears, etc. And Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha wanted to look at them. It was like an amusement for her. She says, I stood behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and my cheek was on the Mubarak cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I was viewing these people displaying their. with the spears, etc. I was looking at them. And one riwayat says, for how long did she stand there? She mentions so beautiful, فَقْدِرُوا قَدْرَ الْجَارِيَةَ الْحَدِيثَةَ السِّنْ الْحَدِيثَةِ عَلَى اللَّهُ. He says, imagine that amount of time and that amount of period that one young girl, فَقْدِرُوا قَدْرَ الْحَدِيثَةَ that حَدِيثَةَ السِّنْ, that girl that is young, imagine that amount of time, that girl that is young and that girl that has a liking for those things that are amusement, imagine that young girl, the amount of period of time that she will long to stand there, that is the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had stood there while I was watching these people doing that act. Can you imagine the love and compassion and understanding he had for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? Some riwayats we find when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come into the home, then he used to open the door slowly, ruwaydan. He used to wear his shoes slowly, ruwaydan. He used to get up slowly, put on his mubarak clothes slowly, open the door slowly, leave the house slowly. This word is repeated over and over again. Ruwaydan, ruwaydan, ruwaydan. So that Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha is not disturbed. Huzur Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reading salat, long tahajjud salat. The Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha is sleeping before him. And the house is so small that when Huzur Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to go to sijda, then he takes his mubarak hands and finger and touches his Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. She says, then I have to contract my feet, and thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make sijda. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never used to impose upon her, you also stand the whole night here and make ibadat like me. This was the love and compassion and understanding that he had with Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the best amongst you is the best towards his wife and children, and I am the best towards the wife and children. Obviously, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us also in another hadith, that khuliqna min dim'in, that these are not perfect. They are not perfect. They have also flaws. They have faults. They have shortcomings. In fact, they are created from the rib. They are created from the rib. And one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, if you go to straighten the rib, then you will divorce them. You will not be able to straighten her completely like you want her, but you must benefit from her in that very state. Otherwise, tolerate that deficiency she has, that fault she has, that shortcoming she has, tolerate that. In fact, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us so beautifully, he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that they overpower, يَغْلِبْنَ كَرِيمًا وَيَغْلِبُهُنَّ لَئِيمٌ.
He says, this woman, they overpower that person that is most generous and gracious and kind and compassionate, they overpower him. And وَيَغْلِبُهُنَّ لَئِيمٌ, and that person that is mean, he overpowers them. And thereafter Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, أُحِبَّ أَنْ أَكُونَ مَغْلُوبًا كَرِيمًا, I like to be that person that is overpowered and is gracious and generous with his wife. وَلَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَكُونَ غَالِبًا لَئِيمًا, أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, I do not like to become that person that is overpowering them all the time and is mean upon them and is mean upon them and is tight upon them. I do not like to become that person. So here Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's Mubarak life tells us how should we should greet our wives, how we should look after our wives and treat our wives despite the shortcomings that they have. Despite the shortcomings and faults that they have, Rasulullah tells us here that we should take benefit from them in that very state. Obviously, we should remember that nikah is such a significant amal that it will continue even in paradise. It will continue even in paradise, this nikah will continue. When this is said, many people get afraid that here I'm having a bit of problem, I'll have that here in paradise as well. No. That one of the wives of Rasulullah had asked, O Prophet of Allah, who will be more beautiful, the wives or the whores? Rasulullah gave such a beautiful reply, which meant to this effect, that the wives will be more beautiful than the whore in Jannah. We all hear about the whore, and you mount watches when you hear about the whore, but this wife of yours, or this wife of mine, who has this amount of deficiencies, faults, and she has so many shortcomings, etc., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take all that away, and she will become absolutely perfect in paradise. And she, her looks also will be such that will be much more, she will be more beautiful than a woman in paradise. So this is just a matter of few days that a person makes a bit of sabr in his life, and because of this, our mashayikh have written kitab on the subject, that person that was tolerant because of the ill habits of his wife, or because of the sharp tongue of his wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them sainthood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made them awliya, Mirza Mazhar Jani Jana rahmatullahi alayh, and Abu Hasan Sarkhani rahmatullahi alayh. And there are many of his like that were tolerant because of the wife. In fact, I remember hearing Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullahi alayh saying that you are leaving here, you are going from here, but you are going to the house, there is another sheikh sitting in the house there that will make you Islam. Your Islam will be made there with that sheikh in the house. And one friend of mine told it to me so beautifully recently. He says, our wives are not some people that we should understand. We should just love them. The sheikh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be able to understand them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned so much about them. In the hadith, one of the hadiths, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that they are naqisatu aqlin wa eenin. And I have not seen anybody. It's a very lengthy hadith, this time is restricted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that in one hadith, that you can do as much as good. They are very ungrateful to their husbands. You can do good to them throughout your life, but if they see an occasion where you have not done any good to them, مَا رَعَيْتُ مِنْكَ خَيْرًا قَتْ, they will rule out all the favors and all the good that you did throughout your entire life. And she said, I have never seen any good from you. So Rasulullah on one hand is explaining to us what their nature is. On the other hand, Rasulullah is telling us, the best amongst you is the one that fulfills the rights of the wife. And if you look at the objects of nikah, one of the basic objects that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spells out, لَتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, so that you may get this peace and solace and contentment in your heart and in your life by getting married. And that will come when we have deen in our lives. When we know the rights of the wife knows the rights of the husband, and we know the rights of the children, this will only come when we have deen. And thereafter we find that life will become a living paradise with our wives and our spouses if we fulfill their rights and they fulfill it. Our rights, and that will come by going out in the path of Allah and learning the importance of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we strive for the deen of Allah, the importance will come into our hearts and minds, and thereafter we find so many people there are that do not know what the deen is. After going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the realization dawned upon them that we are the servants of Allah and there are commands of Allah upon us. What is the sunnah tariqah of carrying out this action, that action, this action, and the entire life is transformed. We find there were so many, I know of one incident in Devon itself, where that person was so harsh and so cruel and so merciless towards his wife, going out on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he had come back, he had become, like so to say, a lamp in front of her. She could not even believe it. What has happened to this man? What has transformed this man? He was going out in the realization that dawned upon him about his responsibilities towards his wife, his responsibilities towards his children. So this is a very mubarak act, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make an endeavor to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all aspects of our life.
not only in our salat, but in our zakah, in our hajj, in our buying and selling, and in our interacting with each other, fulfilling the rights of people around us, the Muslims, the non-Muslims, etc. And together with that, especially our wife and children, to interact with them in the manner shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's very, very simple. There are a few basic rules. We do not know the details, a few basic rules. If we adopt, and I call them the ABC of every marriage, one is the A, that is to be appreciative. No matter what they do for you, no matter how much they are lacking, how much shortcomings they are, whatever is done, if we are appreciative of them and they appreciate the husband, then you will find peace and harmony in the homes, that this is what she's doing for me, alhamdulillah. There are many wives that do not even do what she is doing. The second thing is, we should try and become better than them as far as fulfilling the rights are concerned. But as fulfilling their rights are concerned, we should try and be better than them and fulfill their rights without demanding our rights. This is what akhlaq demands. And thirdly, the C is this, that we should be compromising. We should not come and demand whatever we demand for her to be perfect in every aspect. No, the perfection will come, inshallah, in paradise. We should be compromising. If she failed to do something a certain day, then we should be compromising and accept what is done by her. The Thani Rahmatullah has written the incident of that person who had come, and when his wife had not prepared the meal, in fact she had put more salt or less salt in the food, and he was tolerant. Why? Because he knew that I am the husband, but she is also the slave woman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she is also the bandi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will overlook her faults. I will overlook this what happened today. She has been giving me food all these days, which was proper and matching my taste. Today she has defaulted for some reason. I will overlook that. After he had passed away, somebody had seen him, was told that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven him because he had overlooked his wife, the bandi, and the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this will bring great reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and besides that we will find peace and harmony in the homes. And as I mentioned, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our respected Shaykh always emphasizes this. He says this is a very, very easy sunnah. It has become so rare in our society that it's smiling and going into the home. Try and experience this, at least take this one Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah and Rasulullah, not only with his wives. We find that as Anas radiallahu anhu says, I did not see anyone smiling more than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq to smile in the face of our Muslim brothers when we meet them. The great Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has become so distinct, has become so rare in our society, that if you go into your homes now and give a broad smile, there'll be a problem. The wife will say, what happened today? Why are you smiling? Why are we smiling? Why? Because we don't smile. Should make this a regular feature of our lives, that when we go enter the home with a smile, then we'll see this will create warmth and love and affection in the heart of the wife, and the wife smiles, and that will create warmth and love and affection and feeling in the heart of the husband, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come down. This will be the key, inshallah, of the ABC, and you'll go right up to Zayd, inshallah, and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and try and become those people. Khiyarukum, khiyarukum li ahli. The best amongst you is the one that's best towards his wife, and I am the best towards my wife and towards my children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that this realization of the importance of deen comes into our life. And when deen comes into our life, it will be very, very simple and easy for us to fulfill the rights of not only our wife and children, fulfill the rights of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We hereby call the nikah parties.